Again, bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Say that so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to be here and get together. Especially appreciate your desire for assembly as a congregation to give our worship and praise to God. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the sermon, please do so. Ask my brethren to look around. If someone doesn't have a bulletin, you're very welcome to get one from the foyer. Title of the lesson comes from the scripture that was read to us this morning. We're going to talk about blessing the children. Blessing the children. I just thought that would be an appropriate lesson for today since I have all my grandchildren here today. Came from out of town, some in town, so thought this would be a great time to do it. I even heard my youngest grandson this morning. I think he hears my name. He's looking up here. Or hears my voice. I thought, boy, isn't it nice to hear a baby in the assembly? There's a children's song in our book, and well, there's several, but one of them, the words are, you know, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. All are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I'm going to read this text again to you and show you to illustrate how Jesus really did love little children. It says they, and doesn't say who they are, but I'm going to assume those are the parents of the children. But they brought young children to him that he should touch them. The disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said, oh, suffer the little children to come to me. Forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. So verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he'll not enter in. He took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So the lesson this morning is, how can we bless the children? I've mentioned four ways. There's obviously more, but we'll just look at these four ways this morning. Number one, you and I can bless the children by encouraging them. Encouraging them. When I read the story, there are three different actions concerning the children in that story. You have the parents of the children. They merely wanted Jesus to touch them. Jesus, will you touch my child? Then you have the disciples. And they immediately rebuked those that brought the children. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe they thought the children would interrupt their time with Jesus. Or maybe they thought the children would be an annoyance. They were thinking, these children are going to be a distraction and move us away from our conversation with Jesus. No, no. I just know that they rebuked those that brought the children to Jesus. Then there's Jesus. All much displeased. He didn't like the response the disciples gave. And so Jesus encourages the children. He said, no, 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 allow them to come. And then very specific words, forbid them not. You know, one of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. Encouraging one another, children too. And like the disciples, it's easy to pour cold water on a child's enthusiasm. Here, the parents were bringing them to Jesus. Disciples, no! It's easy to discourage. Don't we think to ourselves, well, you know, the children, they're busy, they're active, they're curious. Children are restless, they're not shy about letting their needs be known. Children, like in the disciples, they may provide opportunities for us to be like the disciples and be negative. Children, you know, they make a mess. They're loud. They throw things. They scream. They're into things. However, aren't they precious? They're precious. Encourage the children. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. When Adam and Eve received their child, they said, oh, I've received a child from the Lord. In Matthew 10, verse 18, Jesus gives a warning, take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones. So we want to be encouraging to our children. Bless them that way. Encourage them. Number two, we can bless the children by setting a good example before them. I think I put in your notes, just set an example, but in parentheses, set a good one. Just, examples can be good or bad. But we want to bless the children with good examples. You know, and the example of the parents in the story is wonderful. We have parents and children in the presence of Jesus. Parents and children. Do you get that, what I'm telling you? The example of the disciples is terrible. They rebuked those that brought them. So Jesus leads by example. Took them up into his arms. Put his hands on them and bless them. So we can be a good example to our children by, first of all, by teaching them God's word and then how we use God's word. Because they're going to see us, I hope, reading God's word and how we use it. And I hope we're not thinking or impressing upon our children that God's word is just good advice. God's word, as Paul told Timothy, is profitable. So there's some value in God's word. There's some treasure. And Paul said, Timothy, God's word, after it's all given by inspiration, but it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, truly furnished unto every good work. All the value of God's word. And I want to be an example to my children by use God's word. I want you to, if you're a Bible class teacher, have a Bible in your class. I want your children to see how you use God's word. Another way to be an example to our children is to teach, how we pray. They're going to see us in prayer. They'll hear us in prayer. And we teach our children that prayer is important to us. Praying for them, it's going to have an influence on them that prayer is not important because of our lack of need. I want my children, my grandchildren, to hear us pray. Hear us pray. Their prayers will be patterned after ours. They'll probably say the things that we say in prayer, they will say. So I want to be an example. Not only how I use God's word, but how I pray. Also, I can encourage the children by attendance. We teach the importance and the value of assembly. And if we don't assemble, we talk to them again. If evidently, assembly is not important. To encourage the children by example. They will see if our preaching or teaching matches our living. I see that. Oh, I also want to encourage our children but in the way that we use our conversation. Certainly we're going to teach them how to have concern for one another and the good manners and discretion and all those good things in life. But it's confusing to the child if they hear our love language and then at the other wonder what they're going to believe. Our love language or our critical language? thing we're going to teach our children. We're going to bless them. Number one, by encouraging them and by setting an example. And the power of example is powerful. Paul did, told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Timothy, where did you get your faith? It dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And that's why I'm persuaded that it's in you also. Oh, generational faith. Yeah. Timothy, they set the example for you and they know not encourage in faith. Your grandmother, your mother, in you. Three generations. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, for even here were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. And we should follow his step. Encourage them? Yes. And set him the example. You're going to teach your children.